Welcome to the final tax update for 2016, and may I take this opportunity of wishing all my listeners a very happy and prosperous new year. In this final edition, we look at five items, the first of which is to note that devolution and tax-raising powers have been granted to Wales, and the Welsh Assembly will take on the responsibility for Welsh rates of income tax from April 2019. We'll all be watching how the Scottish Finance Bill is enacted, because on 15th December, the Scottish Finance Secretary, Derek Mackay, delivered his draft budget for 2017-18, in which he kept the rates of income tax at 20%, 40%, and 45%, but decided not to follow Philip Hammond's budget, raising the tax higher rate threshold by £2,000, and instead he will only raise the threshold by the retail price index, which in this case is an uplift of £430. This is not sufficient to affect behaviour, and this was clearly a concern, but we'll need to see whether the minority SNP party can get this budget adopted. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes and links should further research be sought. There's a very interesting case of Thornton versus Revenue and Customs, which concerned a landlord who wanted to retain possession of flats which had been subject to a tenant's repairing lease, and the tenant had failed to keep the property in good repair. Indeed, the properties had become vacant and uninhabitable, and the landlord, Mr. Thornton, allowed the tenant, Alban Properties, to escape from the lease some 5 years early, having achieved a compromise agreement and payment of £250,000 from the tenants. HMRC looked at their property income manual and, following the guidance in this, decided that the receipt was income, but Mr. Thornton disagreed. The tribunal accepted the taxpayer's argument, and it is clear that the property income interpretation applied by HMRC is wrong and that their manual will need to be rewritten. So if you've got landlords who have received payments from tenants in respect of dilapidations of property, it might be worth looking at each case on a case-by-case basis to see whether a repayment claim might be appropriate. An interesting landfill case is that of Patterson's of Greenskill Limited. And in this case, the landfill operator was using the biodegradable material inserted as landfill to generate, on decomposition, methane, which then was used to generate electricity. And so the question was whether the material, when put into the landfill site, was waste, in which tax was due under Section 40, or whether it was not waste and was not being discarded because it had a future purpose of generating methane and therefore electricity. Not surprisingly, Section 64 provides that the fact that the person making the disposal or any other person could make benefit or use of the material is irrelevant, and so the Upper Tribunal dismissed the taxpayer's appeal on the grounds that Patterson's did not use the material at the time it was deposited, and this determined the liability to landfill tax, and the Court of Appeal has upheld that view. I read recently that HMRC are concerned that its advanced assurance service, which enables taxpayers to obtain advanced assurance that their venture capital schemes or enterprise investment schemes or seed enterprise investment schemes or indeed social investment tax relief, will all benefit in advance of it actually being launched. The pressure on this is because HMRC have been abusing the penalty regime, and in cases where the taxpayer has been mistaken, they have attempted to recover tax on the basis that the taxpayer failed to take reasonable care in claiming something to which the taxpayer was not entitled. Now, this was quite wrong, but the courts have upheld HMRC's view, and we have to accept this is an example of mission creep, where penalty legislation is being applied in cases where it was never intended and is really not appropriate. But not surprisingly, taxpayers then wish assurance to get get things right. So HMRC have opened for consultation a way of trying to reduce the weight and number of applications for advanced assurance. On a similar point, and the most obvious way to reduce the number is to simplify the tax legislation and make it easier for taxpayers to have greater certainty. But they've produced a 404-page guidance on hybrids and mismatch, and for anybody affected, this is compulsory reading. But finally, you'll have noticed at Gary's forecourts that petrol prices and diesel prices are rising, and not surprisingly, HMRC have introduced new advisory fuel rates which apply from 1st December, and details of this are given in the podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and Happy New Year.